Last week, where was we at last week? Psalm 23. All right, well, let's go back here again today. Psalm 23, probably the most well-known verse in America. And as you guys are turning there, I want to kind of reiterate a few things that we talked about last week out of Psalm 23. Many people can quote Psalm 23. It's only six verses. If they can't quote it, they're at least familiar with it. But yet so many fail to understand it. For example, I mentioned last week about how this psalm is often read at funerals, but it really doesn't have anything to do with death. Something else Psalm 23 does, I want to throw out there, and that is Psalm 23 does not apply to everyone. It is only relevant to those that are truly sheep in God's flock. Which is why we began our study last week of this psalm by dealing with what it means to be a sheep. See, if a person fails to see themselves as a sheep, they're going to fail to see their need for the shepherd. They might still see Jesus as the shepherd, but not necessarily as their shepherd. Well, last week we looked at sheep. This week we're going to look at the shepherd. So let's go ahead and read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Folks, when you get down to it, this is David's poem of God's faithfulness to him throughout his life. It's about how God, in the role of a shepherd, cares for his sheep. It's about how God meets the needs of his sheep. Well, the very first thing David does is identify who his shepherd is. And he identifies his shepherd to be the Lord. David had been a shepherd earlier, if you remember when he was younger. He was a shepherd himself. And so he knew from firsthand experience that a shepherd's job was to provide, guide, and protect his sheep. Provide, guide, and protect his sheep. David knew that a shepherd's job was to meet the physical, the material, the emotional, and the mental needs of his flock. He knew that a shepherd's job was to protect the flock from anything that could harm them. David knew that a shepherd's overall job was to oversee the complete welfare of his sheep. And as David thought that through, he concluded that it was the Lord that was the only one that could carry out all of those functions fully, completely, and perfectly. And that is why the very first thing David does in this psalm is identify who his shepherd is. He said there in verse 1, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Folks, it's important that we identify who our shepherd is, because the quality of the shepherd will determine the quality of the sheep. Do you know why so many people's lives are in shambles? Do you know why so many people's lives are just like a constant fiasco? Because they got the wrong shepherd. Some people have their husband or their wife as their shepherd. Some have a boyfriend or a girlfriend as their shepherd. A lot of people have secular counselors and psychologists as their shepherd. A lot of people have self-help books as their shepherd. Some have Dr. Phil, Steve Harvey, and Ellen as their shepherd. And sadly today, too many people have politicians as their shepherd. And the result is that you have sinful shepherds leading sinful sheep. And typically that just don't work very well. Now, when you read the Bible, you see God being addressed by various names. I mean, for example, He's called Lord, we see that. He's called Everlasting, Almighty, Holy One, King, and so on and so forth. Because God is so far beyond our comprehension. He's given Himself a variety of names, and each name helps us to understand His nature, His characteristics, and His abilities. It is similar to how we give people nicknames to describe certain characteristics about them, such as the grandson we have here now. I've got all kinds of nicknames for him. Bubba, Chubby. Anyway, how, you know, it's kind of like how we give our pets names. You know, Vic looks at our pet, sees what looks like, his characteristics, gives it a name. Our mastiff's name is Moses. I don't know how she got that characteristic, but anyway. If you were to read the Bible in its original languages, which is Hebrew and Greek, you would see that you'd see a far more exhaustive list of the names of God than we do in our English translations. And so we come back to verse 1, and David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Well, in Hebrew, the word for Lord in this particular verse is the word Yahweh, or as we refer to it in English, Jehovah. Jehovah describes God to be self-existent. It describes Him to be eternal. It describes Him to be everlasting. It describes Him to be never-changing. And I know one of the things I do in my prayers almost every day is I thank God because He never changes. Because I wouldn't want a shepherd that changes. See, it's important to know that you have a self-existent shepherd, that you have an eternal shepherd, an everlasting shepherd, a shepherd that never changes. See, you have to consider, in addition to that, that you and I were also created to live forever. And so you want a shepherd that's going to be around forever. If a shepherd's job is to provide, guide, and protect his sheep, if a shepherd's job is to provide for the needs of his flock and for his sheep, you want one that can do that throughout all of eternity. You don't want a shepherd that kind of leading you through life that will only be around for a while. You don't want to kind of have to change shepherds in a couple years because the one you had died. You want a shepherd that is everlasting. If your shepherd is eternal, then you know he's around before your trials. You know he'll be around during your trials, and he'll be around after your trials. You know, just like David did there in verse 6, that if your shepherd is eternal, he will be there as you enter the valley of the shadow of death. He'll be there as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and he'll be there as you're coming out of the valley of the shadow of death. In addition to that, in choosing a shepherd, you want a shepherd that'll never change. We can see in this psalm that the shepherd will provide us with green pastures to lie down in. He'll provide us with green waters to rest by, and also a restored soul. We see in this psalm that the shepherd guides us down paths of righteousness, and that he will protect us with his rod and staff, therefore keeping us from fearing evil and giving us comfort. So you don't want a shepherd that is going to change his mind halfway through the journey. You don't want one that says, "Well, I've had enough of this shepherd business, I quit." You want one that says, "I've been caring for and overseeing the welfare of this sheep for years, and I'm not about to quit now." In choosing a shepherd, you want one that is self-existent. Self-existent simply means to exist or live upon one's own power and abilities. It means self-sufficient. And so if God is self-existent, If he's self-sufficient, then he has never needed help from anyone or anything in order to exist or survive. And he'll never need help. God is completely independent of anything or anyone. And so when it comes to choosing a shepherd, you want one that is not depending on some other shepherd for his survival. You want to choose a shepherd that does not need any outside help in order for him to survive. Now, let's add a couple things here that also fits within the definition of self-existent or self-sufficient. And that would be all-powerful. In order for someone to be self-existent, they also have to be all-powerful. Because if they're not all-powerful, that means something or someone out there could overpower them and remove them from their existence. And that's important when it comes to choosing a shepherd, because you want a shepherd that's going to be able to protect you, defend you against anything or anyone that could harm you. Because in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus told his disciples, and he tells us, that as we go into the world, it'd be like sending his sheep out among wolves. In a nutshell, Jesus is saying that our surroundings, our society, the culture we live in, will prey upon us with the hopes of destroying us as his sheep. Folks, if you are going to be like sheep living amongst wolves in the world, it is certainly comfortable to know that your shepherd is all-powerful. Anybody know what it says in 1 John 4:4? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's the shepherd we need. That is why David could say in verse 4 that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he would fear no evil. Now, I said a few moments ago that the name Jehovah describes God to be self-sufficient, eternal, and never changing. But the name Jehovah describes something else about God. It also describes his desire to have a covenant relationship with his sheep. Last week I said that most people fail to have a sheep-shepherd relationship because they don't like to be referred to as a sheep, because a sheep is owned. But here we have another reason many people fail to have that genuine shepherd-sheep relationship. See, a covenant relationship is a relationship that comes with conditions and stipulations that are put in place by those that are having the relationship. But in a covenant relationship with God, the relationship is built on his conditions and his stipulations only. We don't come to God and say, here's how I want it. We come to God because it's how he wants it. See, when we come to God and say we want it a certain way, there's a problem comes in. The average person wants to have a relationship with God, but they want to have it on their terms. Churches would be absolutely filled, every seat, if we introduced them to a God where they got to help write the covenant relationship. And see, that doesn't work right, because if you have a relationship with God on your terms, that would make you the shepherd and make him the sheep. See, when it comes to choosing a shepherd, it's important to look for one that already has the conditions of the relationship laid out for you. That way a person can say, yes, I want a relationship with that shepherd. Or, no, I don't think so. Don't like the conditions. Don't like the covenant. Now, having said all that, we come back to David's words in verse 1, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. So here's David. He has faced life and all of its difficulties. He's faced life and all the struggles and heartaches that come with life. He's faced life and all of its evils. He's faced all of the different needs in life. And down in verse 6, we see that David, just like us, also faced eternity and where he would spend it. And he concluded that he needed the Lord to be his shepherd. David concluded he needed Jehovah to be his shepherd. See, David knew that if he was to ever survive life and eternity, he would need a shepherd that was self-existent, all-powerful, never-changing, eternal, and one that wanted to have a relationship with him. And Jehovah was the only one that was and is fully qualified to carry out all of those things. Now, I was thinking about this psalm the other day. Something hit me. If you took and removed the word Lord from verse 1, just totally white it out, the rest of that psalm as a whole would be completely null and void. If you crossed out the Lord and put another name in there, it would be absolutely impossible for the rest of the psalm to be true. Now, parts of it might be true. You might find another shepherd that could meet your physical needs. You might find another shepherd that could meet your emotional needs. You might find another shepherd that could bring you comfort. You might find a shepherd that might be with you as you go through the valley of the shadow of death. But you cannot put another name in there and truly claim this psalm as a whole. 6 verses, I don't know how many words is in it, but you take that one word Lord out and this thing's no good. Jehovah is the complete package. Because he is the only perfect, self-sufficient, eternal, all-powerful, never-changing shepherd. He's the only one that can meet your every need. And if you think about it, as you read down through this psalm, you find that there's not a need in this sheep's life that is not met. His every need is met. I mean, the shepherd here, he's seen supplying all of his sheep's physical needs. Verse 2, we see him with green pastures to feed on. We see him with water to drink. In verse 2, he's lying down, so he's getting all the needed rest he needs. Verse 4 indicates that the shepherd protects his flock from physical danger. The shepherd in these verses is also seen supplying all of his sheep's emotional and mental needs because, again, in verse 2, the sheep is lying down resting, which means he's not stressed out about being busy all the time. Verse 4 says he fears no evil. He walks through the valley shadow of death, and he's comforted, therefore indicating he has a peace of mind in the midst of all the things we face every day. Verse 6 says the shepherd's goodness and love are always present in the sheep's life. Knowing that is definitely psychologically comforting, even when the world may be against us. Verse 6 talks about the sheep's eternal home in heaven with the Lord, which should give us some internal confident hope that lifts us above our present day circumstances. The shepherd is also seen supplying all of his sheep's spiritual needs. Verse 3, he restores my soul. We may have times when we feel spiritually empty, spiritually drained, that we just want to give up. And the shepherd comes along and he spiritually revives us. Verse 3 also tells us that he guides his sheep down paths of righteousness. Folks, left to ourselves, we will journey down the wrong paths. But the shepherd points us out to the right paths that we should be traveling. David's words there in the second part of verse 1 says it all. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That word want in Hebrew is kuhaser, and it means I won't be, I'm not in lack of anything. I shall not be in lack of anything I need because the Lord is my shepherd. As a matter of fact, when you read this psalm, you get the picture that David was fully satisfied and he was completely content with his shepherd. You don't see the sheep in this psalm desiring or craving any more than what the shepherd has supplied for him. I think it would be fair to say that this psalm is a picture of an overwhelmingly content sheep. So the question is, can we say that about ourselves? Are you, am I a content sheep? I mean, think about it. The sheep in this psalm had just the right amount of food and water. The food and the water the sheep has was of best quality and nutrients available. The sheep had a nice, comfortable place to lay his head and rest. He doesn't have any fears, anxieties, or concerns as he goes through life. This sheep has it made. He is loving life and living a dream. Maybe somebody's sitting there saying, why are you going through all this? We know this stuff. I know who my shepherd is. My shepherd's the Lord. Well, there's two types of Christians. There are those who know their shepherd by name. And then there are those that know their shepherd by his nature, his characteristics, and his abilities. Those that know their shepherd by name only, they have fear of evil. They have anxieties in life. They have concerns that overwhelm them. Those that know their shepherd's nature and his characteristics and his abilities, they have comfort. They have peace. They can rest in life. Doesn't mean at times things don't get out of hand for them. It doesn't mean at times they don't have that emotional roller coaster, but they don't live that way because they come back to the shepherd, that they know his nature, his characteristics, and his abilities. See, the more we know the shepherd's characteristics and abilities, the more our lives will look like Psalm 23. Look at it this way. Especially this particular year and season. When it comes to voting for someone as president, their policy ideals are absolutely important. But it is far more important to look at their character. They may have the most absolute best positions, plans, and policies of any politician in the history of the world. But are they prideful and arrogant? Or meek and humble? Are they a peacemaker? Or are they argumentative and divisive? Do they really care about people? Or are they only in it for themselves? Are they trustworthy? Or are they untrustworthy? Are they honest or dishonest? Do they live a moral life or an immoral life? See, a person's characteristic says far more about them than their policies and political positions. And that's true when it comes to choosing your shepherd. Because the nature of the sheep, or the nature of the shepherd, determines the welfare of the sheep. I said earlier, the quality of the shepherd determines the quality of the sheep. And so, living a quality life begins by having a quality shepherd. And so as I come to a close this morning, I just ask you, whom is your shepherd? If Jesus is not your shepherd, that needs to be the first thing you take care of. Secondly, I would imagine about everyone in here would say, well, Jesus is my shepherd. God is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. So my next question is, do you know your shepherd by name? Or do you know him by his character, his qualities, his power? And we could, there might be somebody here today saying, well, I know him by all those. I know his characteristics. I know my shepherd's characteristics. I know my shepherd's nature. And the tell, how you know really whether you just know his name or you know his qualities, is ask yourself, how's life working for you in the sense of, are you continually stressed out? Are you continually worried about things? Do you fear things that's happening in the world today? And if that describes you, you only know him by his name. And now he's saying, I need you to know me by my character. And I think all of us should periodically just take time and look at Psalm 23. Because we see there the description of a content sheep. And we just don't see the description of a content sheep. We see how God gets him to be content. And he works the same way in our lives. And we'll look more in depth at that next week. Some people may have Satan as their shepherd and don't even know it. Because in the same way that there are two fathers in this world, I guess it'd be fair to say two shepherds. Jesus told the religious snobs in John 8:44, your father is the devil and you do exactly what he wants. The world was filled with people that believes God's their father, but their lifestyle says the devil is their father. So are you living the life that shows God is your shepherd? And if not, he would love to be your shepherd. Amen? As we sing the final song, just do some self-examination. And if you have concluded that God is not your shepherd, we can take care of that today. He's always looking for extra sheep in his flock. Father, we come before you this morning, Lord. We thank you for being the shepherd you are. And Lord, I lift this whole congregation up to you as we leave here today. We are sheep going out amongst wolves. And Father, I pray that we will find all we need in you this week. I pray, Lord, if one day this week things begin to get a little bad for us or get ugly or some frustrations hit us or whatever it might be, that, Lord, we might just turn to Psalm 23. 6 verses that can be read in less than a minute that can change our lives forever. Just really a lot of powerful stuff in 6 little verses. And so, Father, I just pray that you will etch this into our minds to remember this psalm as we go through life. And Lord, I thank you for all that came out here today, and I just ask you to be with them as they go. In Christ's name, amen.